Hello and welcome to another episode of the Selfish Podcast. Today we have Ellis and she's the host of her own podcast called Roaring Like Lions. And I'm really interested to find out a little later how that started. But first, can you just share with me, where in the world are you? What time of day is it for you?
I'm actually in Boise, Idaho. And 11 a.m. this morning.
Oh, nice. Like, I find it fascinating that we can connect so fast, so vastly, and all around the world these days. So it's just beautiful to hear where people are. You know, so nice. I'm here in the south of Spain, and you know, it's 7 p.m. in the evening. It's a nice warm evening, though, so it's not too bad. And I actually found you through a podcast on, I think it was via Facebook group about podcasts. And yeah, I really want to know about that and how you started that. But before we get into that, I'd love to hear about your childhood. Can you paint me a picture of what life was like, say, pre 10 years old?
Oh, pre 10. Wow. Takes me. But yes, life was very interesting. We moved a lot. My dad was putting in the power lines across the state of Oregon. You know, that was back in the late 50s, early 60s, and power was still getting put in many places that didn't have it. Because of that moving, my second year of grade school, I was in six different schools. The other years I was in two different schools each of those years. Moved a lot, you know, before I went to school. I was very tiny. Smaller than most everybody. I was just skinny, but I was short. And when I was in fifth grade, I was actually about the size of a first grader. So life was very different for me.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And the first thing I thought of when you were saying about your dad doing the power lines, it reminds me now of how the sort of internet power lines and stuff is being put in place in the rural areas getting the internet right now. And for you, it's actually just getting power and electric and stuff to different places. That's fascinating. What was school like, being the small one? How was it? Did you enjoy school?
I enjoy being around people. It didn't matter who it was. I have ADHD, which I didn't find out until about 5 years ago when I was 58 years old. And so I was very active.
Yeah.
My mom used to set me in a chair and I would have to sit on my hands and just hold still for a little bit. But boy, I could really talk. And sometimes she would make me just sit still and not talk for a whole minute. And for me, it was like, oh, pure torture. But boy, did I make up for it when I could talk.
Yeah. It's like a lifetime when you're that young, especially if you're 1 minute.
Yes, it is.
Do you remember when you was like the earliest memory you have of like an ambition or a dream or something to do, be or become, some sort of desire that you had really young?
You know, I don't think I had those when I was young. I don't think I, until I was about 12 years old, you know, I just enjoyed life. I enjoyed my family. We were always doing things. We were going camping or visiting family. We didn't live close to family. So it would be, you know, 8 hours drive for us to go see grandparents or aunts and uncles. And we were always going somewhere on the weekends. It was a very fun and loving family that I grew up in. But I think when I was 12, I met my first female doctor. I didn't even know that women could be doctors at that time. Women were not in the work field nearly like what they are now. And she was kind and gentle, and she took time to listen to me instead of just, I'm the doctor and you're the patient and this is what's going to happen. And she really impressed my life. And at that time, I thought, I would like to be a doctor who listens to patients.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it's beautiful. Like, I think when the influence someone can have on your life, even when it's subtle, they don't always know that they're even doing it, but just to be able to bring into your life so young. And it also made me think when you're saying about being young and not having them, because if we're from, say, different generations in age, Like I grew up and you was already bombarded with so, and it's even more so now, but there's so much information of all these things that you've got to do or be or become, like whether it's careers, jobs, you know, from such a young age. I remember like they're constantly asking you in school, like where are you going, what you're doing, or your parents are, or society is, you know, so.
Yeah, so for me, very different lifestyle when I was in school than what there is now. And yeah. I don't know if one is better than the other.
No, I think it's just
they're just different.
You just got to, for me, it's just you got to take the opportunity given and just look at it in the right way. Not try to compare things too much. You lose all your imagination. I had a guest.
I like that.
Yeah, I had a guest the other weekend. They was he's like 10 years younger than me or something, I think. And what happened to him, his issue that he had is when he got to like 20 years old, he said he got anxiety because of the amount of opportunities. He was overwhelmed with all the different choices he could actually take. And he said and that caused him health issues and mental health issues and took him years to break out of and to get himself grounded again. Whereas years ago, it would be there's not enough opportunities, you know, and that would cause anxiety and the stress. And do you remember?
I like what you said in your book. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted to point out in your book, you were talking about perspective. It's wonderful.
Well, thank you so much. My first review, because I only just put it out there, so I wasn't expecting I wasn't expecting you to have read it so far.
Yeah, well, I was just taking a look at it again, and I like the way you did perspective because, you know, I just gave a talk a couple of Saturdays ago about perspective, and it was on self-care. Self-care is not self-centeredness, but it's all of you taking care of everything in you, which actually is working with others too. But it was all about perspective. If, you know, you can take your finger, turn it in towards the right, like from left to right, you're spinning your finger in a circle, you point it up in the air, it's going one way, you point across your chest, you're still going in the same direction, but when you look at it, it looks like it's going a different direction. And if you point it at yourself, your finger's still going left to right, but when you're looking at it, it looks like now it's going right to left. So what you said was it's all perspective on where we're at. So if you don't like what's going on, change your perspective. And just really makes a difference.
Yeah, and I think a big part of it is realizing that's a choice you have. It's not like telling someone this is how you have to do it or doing, but you have a choice of perspective, and it's a tool that you can use and utilize.
Definitely.
But no, then that's one of the main reasons I created this podcast, is to share people's lives and journey, because everyone has their own unique experience in life and have developed their own perspectives of life. You know, and definitely. Something might either, like I had someone, it was actually my brother-in-law, listened to a podcast the other day, and he was asking me about the last guest, and he's like, oh, what was she saying? He goes, and she told me a bit about what she was saying, and he was saying how it like really resonated with him and his youngest daughter. And he was just like, oh, that really like just hit home to him. And it wasn't an episode I was overly expecting him to have took in as something important to him, you know? So you never know what someone might say that might touch someone. A bit like you said, with the nurse that come to you and influenced you. You know, that day before she went to work, she might not have thought she'd changed the whole direction of someone's life. She might go, I might save someone today, but not in that way.
You know, it's like you're on a journey, and we're always on a journey, whether it's in work or whatever. And you know, maybe you're walking down the road and there's this big, huge rock in front of you. Well, you can look at the rock and say, oh, shoot, my journey's over. I can't go anywhere. There's a rock in front of me, you know, for me. Or you can look at the rock and say, well, I have dynamite in my pocket. I can blow the rock up. Or, you know, there's a caterpillar tractor over here. I can just move the rock, or I can just walk around the rock. You know,
maybe we'll just stop here and have a picnic.
There you go. You know, might be time just to rest a little bit.
Nice. And I loved what you said in your message, because when the people listening wouldn't know this, but when someone books into a podcast, they can leave a little note at the bottom for any information they want to leave. And most people, I tell them, like, because I'd like to have the guest blank, because then I get to find out in the interview what I want to know. and it's more exciting. But you just put there, like, I think it was something along the line. So it's not a quote, but it's like, I live a life of joy because the other way is no fun.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah,
and that's a perspective. It's like, if you hold that, you're going to always be looking for that joy in an event. You're looking for any obstacle that comes your way. You're going to look to find joy in that.
Oh, definitely. I used to smile all the time. And we can talk about why I don't anymore.
I was going to say,
gravity kicked in.
Yeah, I was going to bring you up and say you used to.
Yeah, I mean, you never saw me without a smile. And some people would get upset because I wouldn't let things upset me. And I thought, you know, I would say to them, it's like, well, why get upset about it? I don't want to be miserable. You just, you know, it happened. This is the way it is. So we just go on with life and keep going. And, you know, same attitude. And it's like, all right, we've got a problem. Well, let's just fix it. You know, what's the problem? Let's just fix it. Or let's change something so it's not a problem anymore. And
for me, it was the opposite. I spent most of my life not smiling. And then I had to program myself to smile because it didn't come naturally, because I'd lived a life with lots of depression and trauma for most of my life. And yeah. Had become my, say, mold to my even structure. Like, to pull a smile, I could consciously was so aware that I had a smile on my face, and like I would take it away as quick so something could happen. And I would smile, but it's like I can feel the muscles in my face and I know that I'm smiling. So then that takes me out of the moment that I'm in, and the smile disappears because you're witnessing it. And then it was like, and then I started challenging myself. I was like, you know what? When I do my morning walk, I'm going to see if I can just, it started actually, it wasn't holding it. That's what built into holding a smile for as long as I could while I'm walking around just on my own. And it was like trying to see what thoughts came up of why I can't hold a smile. And, but I just started, I was like, every person I see, I'm going to make eye contact and I'm going to smile at them and say like, hello, or whatever language it happens to be. I'll say like a greeting, and try and smile and hold that sort of thing and just get used to that pattern.
You touch so many people's lives doing that, because when you smile and say hello to somebody, it's like something ignites inside of them and they're like, wow, that was nice.
Yeah, it seems to be, it's like a yawn, it's contagious. If you smile at someone and catch their eyes, they like can't help but smile back, and sometimes they look away quick, but they smile normally instantly, and then they have whatever's going on in their world and it might disappear pretty quick. But you
see, absolutely.
Yeah, and you see the whole posture change. That's what I find fascinating. It's like their head gets taller and they stand up a little bit more confident. Like they could be a bit sulky, you know, like weight of the world on their shoulders, and just a hello and a smile, and you've lifted something off them.
Yeah, we need to tell ourselves something good every morning. You know, and I think people get so going in their day, it's like, oh, I gotta get up and get dressed, get all this stuff going on, and they don't hear anything nice to themselves, you know, from anybody else, or because everybody's getting so busy. And sometimes it's just the littlest kindness just will make somebody's day. It can take it from something that they've just been struggling with to like a little ray of sunshine in that darkness that's in them.
Yeah, and it can make the world a difference. You don't know where that person is in that day, to how much that could just influence them, and whatever the ripple effect, that person might go on to do something great just because of that one direction just shifted them in that moment.
Isn't that amazing? I love that.
I was saying, it's only to my love, Danielle was talking about it yesterday. So I was talking about her acting on her purpose and saying, you need to do something instead of, she always has a long distance game for going towards sort of what she's passionate about. And I said, but you're getting burnt out because you're not getting daily satisfaction from actually acting towards it daily. And I said, so you're going to then keep crashing and trying to really push yourself. And I said, you need to just do something subtle. And I said, them subtle things, you're trying to do something really grand and effective. And I said, although that's brilliant, I said, you don't know how something little might change something drastic. I said, like, there might be people out there that are on a roundabout. No, you don't. I don't think you have roundabouts in America, but you know, do you know what roundabout is?
Yes, I do. Actually, okay. my husband's been to Europe. We went there a couple. I got to go there once, and they're wonderful. The ones we have in America, they're not quite as nice as the ones where you are.
Okay, yeah.
They still have stop signs.
Stop signs, yeah, but a roundabout.
And it's like that defeats the purpose.
Yeah. So a roundabout, for those that don't know what one is like a where lots of roads come together in a circle, and you go round the circle and choose your direction. And I said, some people are just going round that roundabout over and over and over again with uncertainty, they're hesitant to take a direction, to go down a path in life. And said, you might give them just one little insight, one little act that gives them that little shift, and you don't know where that path and where the rest of their journey may go. And I said, but you're taking the opportunity from them by not at least contributing something. And I said, but you also lose out yourself. I said, because in little tasks of daily activities that are of pure giving will give you a sense of actual value and worth and consistency in your day and life. It's my belief.
Very much so. So yeah. before we forget about it, and then people are going to wonder why, I didn't smile for a while. Instead of doing what I like doing and what I felt comfortable with, what I knew was my life, because I was so shy and so insecure, I really had no idea how insecure I was. But I wanted to be like everybody else. It's like, well, these people are doing this and these people are doing that. And if I want to be popular or accepted or whatever, then I need to be like everybody else. And so I made some choices that weren't too positive. I lived a pretty unhappy life for a while, and it wore on me. And as I got older, I noticed that I didn't smile all the time. You know, I would have to smile if somebody wanted me to smile. The smile was not there automatically. And you know, now that I've made better choices and decided, you know, I like being me. There's nothing wrong with me. And if somebody doesn't like to be around me, that's okay. They can go be around people they like to be around.
Yeah.
And big difference. You know, I smile almost all the time now. Like I said, gravity's kicked in at my age. And so it's a little harder to keep those cheeks smiling all the time. But yeah, it's, you know, it's that not knowing who I was. You know, it's a really good advantage to moving around a lot, because I learned at a young age about people everywhere, what they were like. You know, most of us are all after the same thing. We just want to be happy and have friends and enjoy life and so on and so forth. But in a lot of towns, people were afraid. You know, or they were used to everything being one way all the time. They never really were able to expand their mind. And I think that was a great advantage for us moving. You know, there were some disadvantages too, but understanding people, having compassion for people, having tolerance, not expecting people to be one way. And if they don't do things that way, then there's something wrong with them. You know, when I was growing up, when you went to small towns, everybody was so excited because you were bringing news of the outside world and what it was like in other places there. Now in small towns, it seems quite the opposite. They're afraid of you. What are you going to do? You're going to come and change everything that we have. This is our life and we like it. And we're afraid of you. And it's really sad to see that. It's not that. And even in the bigger towns, you know, it's nobody knows each other. We all have our own thing that we're doing. And, you know, it doesn't take much just to talk to somebody like in the grocery line when you're waiting to check out and just say, how's your day going? You know, or what have you been doing? Do you have any hobbies? What do you do for fun? You know, just find out a little bit about the person. Somebody had said to me, how can you just talk to somebody in the line? It's like, why are you interrupting them? And it's like, we're all standing in line. We're all bored. And I just can't shut up. I can't be quiet. but it's like, we're just standing there and we're bored, and it doesn't take anything just to say hi to somebody. And I think a big part of that comes from my grandfather. He used to say, I've never met a stranger, only a friend I've never known before.
Oh, nice. And I like that.
Yeah, I've carried that with me. My mom told me to say that. And it's true, you know. And if you meet somebody that you don't really mesh with or care for their lifestyle or whatever, then you just move on, you know. Just because you say hi doesn't mean it's a permanent relationship you have to stick with. You're just, it's good to be friendly.
Yeah, and it's like if the person, like you said, if they react different, that's not your place to control, but you control where you act. So if you're just being pure and honest and you genuinely want to say hello, you should say it.
It was like when it was taboo to say Merry Christmas. And it's like, I still say it because, and my husband asked me about it because he worked in the corporate world where you have to be very careful about everything you say. And I said, you know, if I say Merry Christmas to somebody and they don't like it, or I can tell by the reaction that they're uncomfortable with it, and I'll ask them, but I'm not going to change who I am just to try to fit in with everybody else. I want to wish people a Merry Christmas because I want them to have a very wonderful, happy holiday. And that's what my greeting is. It's not religion. It's not about anything else, except I really want you to have an amazing day on this specific day. And, you know, I have never once had anybody reject my Merry Christmas. People who are Jewish that I didn't know were Jewish, I've said it to. People who celebrate Hanukkah or other holidays, and they've almost always said it back to me, or they said happy holidays or something. But I've never had the problem that I hear people talk about. And I don't know if it's my persona that I'm carrying with me or what it is, but
I think it's a bit of both. And like, I remember when I was younger, where I come from in England, we have a lot of mixed ethnicities, but there's a lot of Indians and a lot of Pakistanis. So there's a big group of Muslims and Hindus, and they obviously have a different faith to Merry Christmas, but we all go into the same school. And when it comes to saying Happy Christmas, they'll be saying Happy Christmas, have a nice holiday. You know, it's like, nice. it's just the way it is. It's not like they're saying, oh, cause I said Happy Christmas, now I'm part of a different religion, or I have my own religion. It is just a polite greeting. I think people just like you said, the corporate world, and that gets exaggerated and overused to someone doesn't want to see it signposted. And it's like the business should have some freedom as well. You know, if that's there, it's like a person saying it. If that's what they want to say, as long as they're not deliberately aggravating or being offensive.
Oh, yeah.
You can turn anything offensive if you really wanted to, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And it doesn't take much, you know, to do that.
No.
You know? So why choose that when you can choose being kind and happy to people?
Yeah, and I think there's a lot as well, like you said, when you're saying something, people pick up. Like, people aren't as... I don't want to say the word stupid, but they aren't as stupid as people make out people are, if that makes sense. You know, so it's like they pick up on your attitude and whether you're coming from a genuine place or not, that's still felt. Whereas you can, exactly the same as when someone says something with bad intent, you feel it very quickly. You know that wasn't coming from a good place.
Yes, definitely.
I wanted to ask you, because we were talking about you said like, you made some bad choices earlier, that made you unsettled, say, in yourself. What would you say was one of the earliest memories you have of something that came up that you had a sort of obstacle in life? And it may be in small years, like you said earlier.
Being short was really hard. Being small, because I couldn't do things like other people. I was always the last one, or second or third to the last person being picked for a team. Because one, they didn't know me, you know, I hadn't been in a place long enough for them to learn how competitive I was and how much heart I would put into something. And part of that too came from being very shy, is I didn't open up to people. And being picked last for teams. And part of it was, you know, I just didn't have the physical stature for like basketball or some of the other teams. I love soccer, you know, everybody else calls it football, Americans call it soccer, and I was really good at that because I could run fast and I could coordinate very well with my feet. So that was something that I really was thrilled in, but it was something that was not common in a lot of schools. But
Yeah, and
yeah, it
even
was
more so
just,
for females, I imagine it was
yeah.
this or so as well.
So yeah, so I didn't develop a lot of the skills that I would have if I had stayed in one place. I'm thinking, but you never know. We can always think back on our life and it's like, oh, if only I'd done this or I should have made that choice. Well, you really don't know what would have happened if you had done that or made that choice. In your mind, you see all the good things of it. But let's face reality in life, it's not always the good things on everything. There's challenges in everything and how you handle those challenges, both emotionally and mentally,
Yeah.
changes everything,
And I think if you got to the bit in the book as well, I talk about that and I call it time traveling, but you're internally time traveling. And we can spend a lot of time going back on the should-haves, would-haves, could-have, if only, why did this happen? It could have been like this. And it's like the most beautiful thing we have as humans is our imagination and our memory. So to waste both of them on impossibilities, you might as well make it useful.
And it's one of my kids should have done this, and it's like, look, you have one life. I know there's people who believe that you have other lives, but let's just take it for where we're at right now and today. You have today. You have today only. You can prepare some for the future, but you don't know what the future's going to bring. So you make choices based on what you've learned, what you know, and what everything that's going on in your life. You make your choices that day based on all of these other things. And anybody can do anything if they go back in time. But the fact is, you only have right now. So you need to make the best choices with what you have. And if it's a choice that maybe you should have made different, well, maybe you can adjust it. But you won't know until you make that choice. I think that's part of when we're afraid to make a choice, we're going to do the wrong thing. And it's like, how do you know it's going to be the wrong thing?
Yeah, and I think
Maybe you would have liked something else to happen, but you only know what you know.
that not having that awareness, but a lot of people are in hesitancy with their actions. I see it, and I heard a really good quote the other day, and they said a lot of people prefer things. They're like, oh, I'd prefer life this way, I'd prefer this, prefer that, and they said, but they're in too much hesitancy and fear to make a decision, and they said they need to divorce preferred and marry decision. Instead, and just make that clear choice that you're going to make a decision, and whatever that decision is, you stick to that, and the other options are just completely gone, and just make clear decisions in your life and not preferred decisions. Like, I'll prefer if it goes this way, I'd prefer if my life was this way.
Well, it never hurts to just stop and take a little bit of time and really look at everything, And you can't say, oh, I should have done that or I should have done this. Like if you get in a car with your friends, nobody's drunk. You're just in a car with your friends and you get in an accident and people don't come out of the accident, to put it nicely. Well, it's not your fault that you decided to get into that car and this accident happened. You chose to get in the car, but you didn't choose to have the accident happen. I had somebody say to me the other day, it's like I was in this accident, there was like a 5-car pile up, and I make that accident happen. And it's like, how can you choose to make another driver run into you? It just really bothered me that they put all of that weight upon their own shoulders. And it's like, that is such a heavy burden to carry through life, as it's accidents are called accidents because that's what they are. You can't control everything that happens. You can't, if something's going to happen, it's going to happen. If you get in a car with people who are drunk and an accident happens, well, that probably was not a very smart choice because you knew they were drunk when you got in there. But
Yeah, and then it's time like
I
so
don't know,
even
does that
it,
make sense?
no, that makes sense. And I think even if you make that choice and you've done something, if you survive it, it's afterwards still not to blame yourself, but to recalibrate and, like you said, make clearer decisions next time to realize, okay, wait a minute, that wasn't the most optimum choice that I made in that time. Now, well done. I've learned a lesson. I'm going to use that lesson now and make sure that doesn't repeat itself.
No, and I think that's part of it too, is sometimes we choose things that feel really good to us without realizing, well, they feel good because this is a comfort zone. We're familiar with it. Not that it might be a comfortable situation, but it's familiar because it's happened before, and it feels good because it's not something different. It's okay to try things that are different and that make you uncomfortable, as long as they're wise choices. But maybe they're uncomfortable because now you're making the wise choice instead of doing the same thing you're doing over and over and over in the past. How many times do you hear someone say, I always make the same mistake. I always date the same kind of person. I always do this. And
Yeah, they I
when it
always find
feels
that.
comfortable,
I always
change
find it
it.
funny when I hear someone say that, because it's like they're not hearing themselves say it. And I'm like, in
Exactly.
your own words, as you say it, you already realize I always do it. So do you need to do something different?
Yeah. And so a good way to look at that is, why do I do this? What are, I mean, try to go back and look at the steps. Say, well, it felt really good. Okay, well, if it feels really good, you need to tell yourself, why does it feel really good?
So I also wanted to know, like, the last 2 years now, and I'm hoping that at some point I'm doing this podcast and I won't be saying the last 3 years, but the last 2 years has been a little different for everyone, and I don't think anyone has not been affected in some sort of way. How have you found it in your life, internally, externally? What's happened in your world?
Oh, I tell you, for us, it was a little bit different. In February 2 years ago, my husband was injured at work, and he had the surgery. So we were pretty much staying home anyways. We weren't really going anywhere, and so it was just kind of normal for us. I mean, when we went to town, we wore the mask. It was no big deal, and we just life. After about towards the end of last year, it was starting to get a little bit frustrating. Like we were told it was, and life was just getting crazy, and it was people not living in fear, and it's hard for me personally to see people live in fear, because I've lived in fear, and that's no, you're just barely existing, and life's too short to do that. You need to be careful. It was a scary thing. It was a worldwide pandemic, and it's happened before. But sometimes I think people let fear rule their lives, and fear is there's a reason to be afraid if you're gonna burn your hand or something, or you're gonna be in danger, but to be afraid of the unknown, that's where I think it's really hard on ourselves. We rob ourselves of so much by living in fear of the unknown. And so no matter what it is, and so we need to become informed. We need to find out the truth. We need to see what is it that we're really afraid of, and go from there.
Yeah, do you know what came to mind when you were saying that as well, is when you explained earlier about saying being able to hold a smile in a dramatic situation and other people not quite understanding how or why, or that you should conform and get rid of your smile to be just like them. And yet fear, I think a lot of people that are full of fear think that if you're not full of fear, then you have no caution, and they don't realize, like, you can be cautious and make wise decisions and choices that are safe and be without fear. And without fear, you're actually much more productive. So you're going to make better decisions and be more safe and be more cautious. So that fear, yeah, because I am the same as you. I don't like seeing people being I guess you could say it, not being the potential that they are. and not realizing the worth and value and the life they have within them. That's like a big part of my content. So much.
Right. Yeah. Like, you miss out on so much. You know, you look back, it's like, well, I realized I didn't have to be afraid after all. And yes, you know, and you don't want to live in regret. I mean, regret doesn't do any good. All regret does is just rob you of the present and the future. But you don't want to be so afraid that you miss out on the love you're going to receive, on the hope that you have, on the friendships. And there's just, life is just way too short. And you got to make the best of every moment of it. You know, you don't have to be constantly doing something every moment.
Every moment,
just be glad that you're there. I mean, other people are glad that you're there, whether you realize it or not. And maybe it's not a good situation right now. You know, see what you can do to make it a good situation, or to get out of the bad situation and go.
Yeah, and I think it goes full circle on when we started at the beginning talking about perception. And for those that are struggling with that concept, those that have already been through it will just be nodding their head and going, yeah, exactly, yeah. But if they're struggling with it, it's also knowing that, again, it's a choice and it's about shifting your perception and having that attitude of, like you say, appreciation and gratitude for the smallest things changes the perception, and that changes your sort of chemistry within. And it is, it will change that fear within you. It takes consistency as well. But it's a bit like if you was going for major surgery, if your surgeon's not good, it's big problems. And you've got two choices. You can go with one surgeon who's full of regret and fear, and one that's not. Which one would you choose? You know, already one's not going to be productive. He's not going to be his optimum if he's full of fear and regret. You know, he's in the past and he's not present while he's doing his operation. And it is shifting your perception will start to change them fears.
Well, it's like two people who go to a doctor. The doctor tells both people, you only have 6 months to live. One goes home and hides in the house, closes the curtains and curls up with a blanket and just waits for a day. 6 months to live, I'm going to make it the best 6 months there ever was, and ends up living, you know, a few more years. And it's amazing the power that our mind has over us. You know, in the Bible we're talked about, you know, it comes out your mouth, and you know, and in other parts it's talking about your mind too. And so, you know, we got to be putting good stuff inside of us all the time. You talked about gratitude and about, and I always thought, well, the journal's same thing as a diary. I get bored writing it. And it's like, no, journals are so much more. You're writing down your ideas. You're like yourself when you journal. Thing I've started to do, and I'd never even heard of this before, is writing a gratitude journal. You know, some people say write 25 things. Well, to someone with ADHD, that's like putting a big huge dictionary in front of me and tell me you have to read it every day. So I thought, you know, I can do five is not overwhelming. Now, there's a lot of times I will write 25 things I'm grateful for, but every day, every morning I wake up, what are five things that I'm grateful for? And not just simple easy things. It's like, well, I'm grateful I woke up today because I have another day to add value into somebody else's life. I have another day to write stories for my grandchildren because they love it. I have another day to be alive and be happy and enjoy it, you know? So you don't just say one word what you're grateful for, but you say why you're grateful, you know? You'll look through my journal and a lot of times you'll see I have family on there because I don't just leave it at fam. Sometimes I do, but with all the other words that are in there, you'll understand why I just use one word. But some days I'll put family and I'll put because I was able to touch their lives today and tell them how valuable they were to the rest of the world. If I didn't have family, I wouldn't be able to do that for them. Or I'll put, you know, I'm so grateful for family because I asked them to pray for me and they said yes, you know, or friends or or anything. Sometimes I'm grateful I've got my big Irish wolfhound that's laying on the bed squishing me, because she brings me so much happiness and joy. It's like, get off my legs, because you're just so heavy, you know, but I'm really grateful that she's there.
My dog's not quite that big, but I can resonate with that. I had him on my, only last night we were sitting outside in the woods. He's sitting on my lap and my legs are going numb. But I was enjoying his company so much. I was like going for the last second, you know, then I couldn't stand up. You're just like, you're immersed in that appreciation for them and the comfort.
Yeah. I can't believe what a difference writing a gratitude journal has made. I did not think anything so simple, so weird, or mundane sounding could make such an impact in my own life. Also writing down affirmations, you know, things about me that are really good. Do you know, 2 months ago, I absolutely could not look myself in the mirror and tell me something good about myself, which shocked me. It's like, why? I've never had a problem before, but I didn't realize that all the things through all my life, everybody had been telling me that was negative, you know, like, you're not good enough, you can't do this, you know, it's all, you're not and you can't. I had begun to tell myself that, which really shocked me. It's like, why would I tell myself that? Why do I say these negative things to me? And it's like, I have got to change that. You know, and 2 weeks ago, I looked myself in the mirror and I could stare myself in the eye and say, you're a pretty amazing person. Look at all these amazing things you did this week. It's just wonderful.
Oh, no, that's nice. And that was, you, did you start the gratitude journal like 2 weeks ago? Was that a process before then?
I started it about probably a month and a half, almost 2 months ago. The affirmations was a little harder, which kind of surprised me, but I think we're not taught to tell ourselves nice things to ourselves. You know, we hear so many times that you're not worthy, you're not this or whatever, and it's like, well, let's tell ourselves what we are. People with ADHD, because the hyperactivity just is too much for most people, and having grandchildren with ADHD, I totally understand the other side of the coin now. but you know, you're always told, you know, stop that, don't do that, sit still, put your hands in your pockets, you know, quit talking. Why are you always like this? You just wear me out. A lot of the good things that, and even if you don't have ADHD, there's lots of people who are not told the good things that they do. And we have to tell ourselves. And it's like, well, yeah, there are times that I do this, but look at all this wonderful stuff that I can do. And these are things that people have told me, and I need to concentrate. Somebody had said, I'm not going to get these numbers right, but just to kind of give you an idea of what they were saying, we're told like 150,000 negative things, I think, by the time we're out of high school, but only like 5,000 nice things or positive things. And it's like, wow, that's just incredible. No wonder a lot of us are depressed or sad. So it's like, we got to start telling ourselves these good things. You know, what is it you say? If you say something negative to somebody, you got to say at least 5 positive things to them to counteract that negative. I know I don't have my numbers right, but it's just incredible how,
as long as you overweigh it one direction, then the other, you're at least going in the right direction. So the more,
there you go.
Just as long as you're going in the right direction in some volume, I think people are like, whether it's your parents, friends, teachers in school, like for your whole life, people are very quick to tell you, like you said, what not to do and what you did wrong.
You know? And they may mean it to be really good for you and to help improve yourself, but somehow we seem to hang on to that negative aspect of it. And
yeah, and I think it's like how you just said, it's just a ratio. It's like there's more of one side than the other. And I think what really worked for me and helped is thinking about our memory and how that every single interaction experience is all within us at all moments. It's just we only access certain bits because I could smell like, say, an apple pie, and I would go back to my nan when she baked an apple pie and I was 5 years old, you know, and that smell, that memory's there, and pictures will flash up of being at the park with her and stuff. And it's like, okay, that wasn't there 5 seconds ago, it wasn't there yesterday, last week, but that happened 20, 30 years ago. And it's like, and that's still in me. So to me, it's like, okay, if everything is still in me, what's, how much of that, where, like you said, where's the weighing scales of all that information? Is it all, is it balanced? And it's like, well, start putting some good memories in now. And the more you can, the better. And the more good words, like you said, whether it's even giving good words to other people, encouraging and saying nice things to people, like you said, just small things.
And I think people think that if there's anything negative, they have to just, oh, get rid of it right away. It's like, you can't do that, because that negative is going to keep knocking on your door. So you acknowledge it. It's like, okay, I see you, I know you're there, but you know what? I don't care anymore. You're not going to ruin my life. I've got all this good stuff in me. So you have to acknowledge it, but you don't embrace it.
Mm.
Just say, okay, I've seen you, but you know what? It's time for us to depart now. Go ahead and go on your way. And doing that actually helps you feel better, and you're able to recall the good more often, because now it's not like you're concentrating, but now you're saying to yourself, yes, there is negative, but it doesn't run my life. And that's really powerful. I had no idea how powerful that was until this year. I've made found out a lot about myself this year.
What do you think kickstarted that good. This year?
Well, I tell you, I wanted to make a change, you know, with my husband being disabled, not being able to work at the job he was doing. I thought, you know, it's not that we need to live a lavish lifestyle or anything, but gosh, it'd be nice to have a little more income coming in. So I saw somebody said, hey, you know, this is how you build a business. And I thought, I've worked, you know, I've been a stay-at-home mom most of my life. I did work some jobs, but because my ADHD, I don't understand the corporate world, and it makes it really difficult to succeed. So, and I knew my children were important. So I made the choice to stay home. But because of that, I never learned how to run a business, what to do. And so I'm learning about entrepreneurship. And as I'm going through there, I realized I didn't know who I was. I had no clarity as to who I was. I was on one workshop, and you know, what was the one thing that you've always heard? And the one thing I always heard was, I'm not worthy. I'm not worth anything because I was too small. I was too this, I was, you know, whatever. And that was a really harsh reality for me. And it's like, wow. I didn't realize that I'd been telling myself that. I didn't realize a lot of things. So I kind of journey to figure out, well, who am I? You know, I've always been somebody's mom, somebody's wife, somebody's grandmother. I just thought I knew myself, and I realized I really don't. So I needed to find that. And I didn't realize how much negative I was putting on myself. And, what a difference. And once I started seeing the good in me and being able to tell myself the good in me, a lot of things opened up. I wouldn't be here talking to you if I hadn't have made that change, because I wouldn't have ever believed anything like this could happen to me.
And, yeah, and I can resonate with that. Know? I wouldn't be here talking to you now if I didn't. I had to go through a lot of changes thought like I had anything to share, because my life had only been pain. And I'd only ever given myself mental self-abuse and talked to myself badly. So I was like, there wasn't that thing to actually really put myself out there and do it. And I had to, similar to you, not like you, yours would say, not feeling worthy. With mine, I didn't realize I didn't love myself deep down. And I had been really neglecting myself, even though caring for others. Mm-hmm. I started doing like self-love practices and stuff. And then realizing how that I'm not, my ambitions and my inner self was like, controlling me, that one day I'll give you love if you fix everything and you do this and you achieve this. And it was like someone with a whip behind me controlling me to do something, but they weren't nurturing and loving me and guiding me. You know, it was a very harsh inner boss sort of thing, controlling and manipulating me to just keep pushing myself. You know,
right.
And it was the same year. I just went through a process of like, I didn't know I didn't love myself. And then after quite a bit of time of that process, I wanted to share this stuff with people. So I started a YouTube channel, mm-hmm. sharing my journey, because I was like, I didn't even know this was a thing.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I was like, I didn't know. So maybe if you don't know, so I'm sharing it with you, or maybe you do know, and this will give you some clarity and some confidence that you know. So I was just like, right. I'm just going to put it there. But I would not have been able to put it there confidently and lovingly if I didn't have that confidence and love for my own self.
Absolutely. You know, I was kind of the same way. You know, people are saying, you know, everybody had a story. And I'm like, well, I don't have a story. I haven't done anything. You know, I wasn't a drug addict. I wasn't an alcoholic. I didn't have that pivot point, and all of this. And I realized it's like, oh, well, this is my pivot point right now. And I do have a story. I have a sign above my bed. I put it on a post-it note and I have it up there. And it says, you are worthy. I put it, I am. To hear my story. And I'm surprised, you know, that people resonate, that I do have a story. People resonate with that story, because I think we've all got that point in our life where we feel like there's nothing special about me. I like what the speaker Les Brown says. He says, you have greatness in you. And I like to add to that is, yes, you have greatness in you, but you also have value. And the one thing I keep hearing is, nobody else has walked path that you have had to walk in your life. And because of that, you are the only one who is uniquely created to talk to others, because what you have experienced, only you can share that with somebody else. And somebody else does need to hear what you have to say. And, you know, there's a lot of power in that, because I love listening to people. If I'm on an airplane, I'm going to talk to the person next to me until I, you know, they say, well, I really just want to, but I want to hear their story. I want to know where they've come from and who they are, you know, and I'll do that in the grocery line. You know, I guess that's why I talk to people. I want to know their stories. I want to hear about them, because everybody is so fascinating. You know, whether you've made a change or you haven't made a change, every life is so unique. And that, you know, until you start asking people, I don't think they realize that they have so much inside of them to share with everybody else, or even just share with one person. You know, some people get overwhelmed. I don't want to share with the whole world. You don't have to share with one person. Yeah, whoever you talk to, you're going to increase their life so much.
Yeah, and I really want to know how you got into starting your own podcast show. And I just wanted to share with you, as you were saying that, when I started this podcast show, right at the beginning, I was like, I didn't know how to get guests, where to get them from, what to do. I was like, I've just got to go online, I guess, and email people and send people messages on Instagram or on Facebook, or just start. I didn't know where to do, but I started asking friends as well. I was just like, I just talked to my friend, because I didn't have a criteria. It was much like you said, I just saw that everyone's unique. So everyone has a story. I just have to be able to facilitate that story and ask them some questions to hear what I'm interested in and get it out as to hear about them and their life and experience. And but I was surprised with a few friends when I asked them that they were reluctant, just because they said, I have nothing to share. I have no story. And no matter how much I told them, like, no, you do the show. If you don't like it, we won't even put it out. It's not live. And I said, I guarantee you, you have a story. You're unique. And I'm trying to encourage them, but you could see there, and you could see where they were in their life, you know?
That's And sometimes, you know, if you know the person, that makes it a little easier, is you can say, well, why don't you just tell about this one instance? And let's just take it from there, you know, or, hey, you know, this really great thing happened to you. Let's just talk about that a little bit. And they'll go, well, there's not much to tell, until you start talking about it. And then you find out the background behind it. So to answer your question, I was in a group called Life on Fire.
I was in Life on Fire. Is that how we
met? Oh, awesome. It might be.
What was it you did at the book writing course?
Yeah. No, I haven't gotten into that, but I started to this year. I just didn't go, you know, the rest of the distance with it because I already had my other publishers and stuff that I was working on a project with. But so what I did, it's like one of the things that they'd like you to accomplish, you know, before the 10 weeks is up, is to have a summit, have a webinar, do something like that. And I thought, well, I'll have a summit, you know, not knowing what I'm doing. You just kind of, you know, get out there and do it, you know. And so I had more people who wanted to speak on the summit than I had spots for. So I thought, well, maybe I'll just, you know, everybody talks about, you know, doing live shows on Facebook. Maybe I'll just do some of those. So we did the summit on a Friday. That Monday, I already had people lined up for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to speak. And so I did that. And what I really loved the most, and the summit is what started it, was people telling their stories. Now, on Friday, I had no idea what people were going to say. They told me their topic, but if you have three or four words, you really don't know what they're going to say. It was amazing, spectacular, fantastic, whatever words you want to use to describe it. It was just the first speaker spoke, and boy, that just set the tone for the rest of the night. Second speaker spoke, third speaker spoke. I mean, they talked about a huge variety, from doing hedge funds to you know, how to market on Facebook, and just all kinds of things. And some were personal stories about the change that they had made in their life from before, you know, to what the steps that they decided, you know, I don't want this life anymore. And then the steps they took to get the life they have now that they love. And these stories were just so uplifting and filled me. I mean, by the time that night was over, I was floating on cloud nine. You couldn't wipe the smile off of me for 4 days, you know. And then that carried on into Monday. I had a speaker come, and they just talked about, it was just, you know, they talk about adding value into people's lives. And that's my requirement for anyone to talk on my show. I really don't care what you talk about. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about, but make sure that what you talk about, you're giving to somebody that they can take home with me and put into their life some kind of action, or they can put it in their business, or both. And they can carry that through with them and then maybe share it with somebody else. So you're just pouring into people. I think of that show called Pay It Forward, with a little boy who reached out to three people to improve their lives. And he said, the only requirement is you have to reach out to three people themselves. And look at the movement it caused. I mean, it was just a show, but how many people today, when you say pay it forward, they respond positively to that, and it activates them, and they want to get going on it. And I love that. I love that it just spreads that energy. You know, I believe there's energy everywhere around us. I'm not a religious person, but I do believe in God. I do believe Jesus as my savior. You know, I believe in heaven and hell. I believe in demons and spirits. But I also believe that everything in this world, universe, has energy. And once you start activating that energy, it's just remarkable the things that can happen with it.
Yeah, nice. And no, it sounds like such a beautiful way that started, and from that group, and like you said, in getting that for your first going and just going in through it. So congratulations on just going for it as well. Like, it takes some bravery and courage just to start, you know. And it sounds like you came from you just went dived in.
I just don't want to stop, you know. One of the verses in the Bible says to number your days. The reason it says that is because it wants you to appreciate every day and to make every day count. And I took it a little bit further, and about 10 years ago, I figured, okay, based on my family history, you know, I figure I've got 18 good years before dementia or Alzheimer's or old age or whatever sets in, strokes, whatever it is. I've got 18 good years. Well, it's been 10 years. So I have 8 years left, 7 and a half now. And I don't want to waste any of it. I don't want to say, oh, I'll do it next year, or okay, this isn't working, so I'll just wait a couple of years from now. In my mind, I don't have that time to waste. I'm not, you know, when I was in my 20s, you figure you've got a whole life ahead of you. None of us know when our time is going to be called home and leave, you know, our loved ones. But what we do is we make the best of it while we're here. You know, everybody wants to leave a legacy. Well, you leave the legacy of loving your people, loving your family, you know, carrying importance of putting value into other people's lives. You know, they say you give before you take. And it's like, they'll just give, and they give back to you. You don't even have to take it. It just automatically comes back to you. And that has just been the biggest revelation I think I've found, that you don't have to take, because the more you give, it just comes back to you, and you're getting given into your life. You don't even have to take, you just have to receive it. And you learn to receive things, and receiving things, that's a whole nother show.
Yeah. No, it's beautiful that you got that experience. And so where can people find your podcast to tune in? I've got Roar Like Lions. Is that on? Because you do it on Facebook. Is it something people can catch up with?
I do it on Facebook. It's on my profile page. And then on YouTube, on my YouTube channel. I don't have enough followers to have my name on YouTube. I still have all the numbers. But, you know, I'm under coachls.w2r. It's writers, stands for writers to readers, because I coach unpublished writers to get their story out into the hands of readers. But yeah, just LS Kirkpatrick, just keep typing it up. I have my website, writers to readers.com, and it's writers, the number two, readers.com. And I think I have my Facebook links and stuff on there.
I'll make sure to put them all in the description as well.
Okay.
Go and check it out. Yeah. And like you said, it's, they'll get some value, I'm sure of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was just looking today, and Paula Jack, she's had 60 views. I mean, that's really great. I've only been posting them just for a short amount of time. So, you know, I just, each speaker brings something different, and everybody is different. So, you know, there's like speakers for everybody, you know. And if you want to speak on my show, let me know.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely interested in it, and come and share. I was going to ask you about that after as well. No, I'm interested.
Oh, absolutely.
I like I said, I found just doing the experience for myself. Part of the reason it's called The Selfish Podcast is because I know I get so much from it just for myself. It's also about the other person's self, you know. And but it's already like, it's a very much a give and take. This, yeah, such a nice experience. And can you tell me, because we're getting nearer to the end of the show as well, but can you tell me a little bit about your books? Because you're saying you were helping people write books. What are your books about?
Well, I wrote a lot of stories for my grandkids, and my kids said, you really need to publish these. So I thought, well, you know, I'll just write a book. I'll proofread it myself and just put it on Amazon and do. And it's like, no, that's not all you need to do. Boy, was I wrong. So I have three books that have spelling errors in them. One book doesn't even have chapters in it, but I'm going to rework that book this summer. But yeah, I have three books on Amazon. One is Marta's Jade. The other is, I think it's 12 Letters from the Attic. And the other one, it's All of Our Story to Tell. Very different stories. Each one is completely different from the other. I do legacy books, and I did genealogy for 30 years, you know, helping people with registering their patriots for Daughters of the American Revolution. And the one thing you have to do is make sure that you're not following somebody else's ancestor. I mean, even in my own line the other day, I watched this show. It's called Finding Your Roots. On it, it had this gentleman's name and his wife's name. And I thought, oh my gosh, those are the names that are in my family. So I looked them up, and it's like, okay, as I look it up, I say, all right, these were in a different country. And even though their birth dates were almost exactly the same, they were in different countries. So you have to kind of look at the whole picture. You can't just go by the name and the date. You have to go by, and sometimes they're even in close proximity to each other, didn't even know each other existed. I found that out with my dad one time, but because I know my dad's story, it was really easy to discern it. It didn't take me months to figure out it wasn't him. But yeah, you've got to look at the whole picture. You have to look at what was going on, where were they working, who were the other relatives, and so it's quite a bit of work. So that's, I think, you know, geared me up for doing all this other stuff. Nice. But I've written genealogy books. I've got a legacy book coming out. I don't know if it's going to quite make it this year or not, but it's my so many great grandfather came to America from England. He originally was from Scotland. He was part of the Quakers, and that was a new movement that was happening back in the 1600s. And so there's a lot of history that goes on with this legacy book, history of the Quakers, histories of book publishing. He was a famous book publisher. He published works for George Fox. So there you have the history with George Fox and what was going on. It has a history with King Charles and why people were going to America. And you know, it goes on into the founding of Perth Amboy in New Jersey and founding of Princeton and the American Revolutionary War. I'm just amazed at what my ancestors did and what they endured.
Yeah.
You know, he was 2 years in prison because somebody tricked them into saying that they didn't support the king. Well, that wasn't at all what they were saying, and they were finally set free from that. But, you know, even the women were in prison, and that was pretty unheard of back in the 1600s, you know, especially just for your faith. And 2 years being in prison, I just can't imagine being in this little tiny cell for 2 years back in that time. You know, bad enough being in our day and age, but so it's just fun. It's just, I'm telling stories, you know, that's all I'm doing is telling stories.
And nice, sounds interesting. You know, I'll make sure they're in the link for any readers out there that want to tune into that and come read what you've put down on paper. No, it sounds great, especially. So I'm just at the beginning processes with that myself. But no, it's exciting and it's nice. And it's also a lot of self-reflection when you're just putting pen to paper, a bit like the affirmations, just putting yourself and putting your effort in and sitting there with something, doing something constructive to give and to serve. Beautiful.
Well, it's good to have an outline to do your story. You know, that kind of helps because sometimes you just kind of go off on a journey in your mind because you lived it. And if you have an outline, it kind of helps keep you on track so you don't get too far off on one thing, because that'll burn you out on writing faster than anything. It's like, well, this isn't really what I wanted to say. I lost the story that I was telling because I was telling this other story. So, and you've got a book out, so you probably understand the process of not
getting
off track.
I was going to say, I started with structure first. That's my...
Yes.
I wrote down a whole plan of structure before I started anything. I was like, this is where I want it to begin, and this is where I want it to sort of go to, and these are the bits in between that need to be covered. And I had a list of little points that I wanted to make to go through it as I was going.
Yep.
Get a lot easier.
Excellent. It does. It makes it so much easier.
Again, I'm going to see it. It says in 30 seconds, it might time me out of Zoom. I don't know why it's giving me a limit now. It says I have a 40-minute limit to come up on my screen. But I recorded one a couple of weeks ago because it's only on the free version. But I recorded one the other week and it recorded for an hour and 15 minutes and I didn't get this meeting. This warning said normally it's only if you have more than three participants in a call. So it says it might cut off in, let's say, 2, 1, 0. Is it going to cut? Is it still recording?
I think it'll still keep, it'll keep recording. I don't know why they have that.
Just checking the recording button's going. It says it's recording. Yeah.
That's what it says here too.
So I don't know, because it worked the other week. I don't know why it's saying that. It says on my screen in big letters, running out of time. This meeting will end in 10 minutes.
Dear.
That's been there for now just over 10 minutes. Yeah, and I had to swap. I was using a different platform to record because I wanted to hear on your podcast, and we can chat about it after about how it works with your setup on Facebook, because I've never done a podcast on Facebook.
I just stream it to Facebook from Zoom.
Oh, so I just have to sign in through Zoom. Okay, that's simple enough then. That's what I wasn't sure. I was like, oh, I wonder what if I have to go, because I've got a Facebook account, but I only set one up for the first time this year, and I don't go on it too often. So it was a sort of foreign concept for me. I've always avoided, I've done the opposite my whole life. I avoided all social media and all sort of them type things. And then I felt like I had such value and worth that I really wanted to serve and give to people. So then I went around creating accounts on everything.
I got really tired of everybody fighting with each other and somebody making a remark and somebody to come back and just attack them. And I actually had two Facebook accounts. One was for people I've known all my life, because like I said, we moved a lot, but I still stayed in touch with people. So I had a lot of friends there, but I got so tired of people being mean to each other. And then I had my account that was just family, and I would go to that. And even though we had differences, we responded to each other with love and care. And
How long are your episodes? I think did you say 30 to 40 minutes, your podcast episode?
at the most, they're right around 30.
Because when I first started, I'd set no time limit. I thought I'd just have a conversation, see where it goes. And then I had one podcast went on for 2.5 hours, and I thought that was great. And it was we had such an amazing conversation and kept chatting. And then I
Oh,
had to
that's
edit it
great
as
though.
well, though, and re-upload it. And then I was like, you know, I need to start putting a limit on my time, because a bit like you, I could just keep talking and having conversations. And
Oh, sure.
so I try to keep them now to like an hour, and I'm even thinking at the moment whether to go to 45 minutes, so I can just be more consistent while I'm doing so many other things as well.
Right.
But
Yeah,
yeah.
I didn't know if I could go longer than 30 minutes. But a lot of them, I'm glad it stops at 30 because I'm not connecting with my speaker, but I know that there's people who will listen to it, who will connect with a speaker. So I still try to keep it engaging. But then there's others, it's like, man, I could go for like 2 hours, like you said, and just keep going. They're just, everybody has a different way of talking, and some days are off and some are not. And like I say, I never know what we're going to talk about until we actually start talking.
Yeah, and I'll give you one little tip that I do for my podcast. I don't think, because I come from a sport background, I used to be a personal trainer for a long time. So, and
Oh.
part of doing all the sports prep was you would always have sort of like certain meals, or you'd plan your nutrition to optimize your progress in a session. So there would be like a pre-routine and a post-routine. But so I do the same with my podcast. Like half an hour to 15 minutes before every podcast, I have warm lemon water with a spoon of honey and a little coconut oil. And that keeps my vocals nice and smooth. The oil helps
Oh,
keep
okay.
my mental clarity clean. Because coconut oil, if you don't know about it, you can research it, but it does, it gets into your, the fats bypass into the bloodstream faster than any other fat and stimulates the brain. So it
Oh,
helps.
nice.
But and the honey also helps with your vocals and keeps them soft and warm. Like it's how vocal coaches warm up as well to before they perform.
Okay. I didn't know that. Thank you.
So I found, yeah, I find that really helpful. And it's also just good for you in general, even if the podcast gets cancelled. You know, I had one yesterday because I know our one we got missed timing because of Calendly, but
Yeah.
I got in a nice drink still.
Oh, good. That's awesome. I love it.
And I finish off all the shows, and I just got to give you some appreciation and say I truly appreciate you being on the show and sharing and being open and just authentic. It's like I said, that's the beauty of a real conversation, is someone just being honest and
Yes.
speaking from their heart, you know. So thank you for that. And
Oh, definitely. I don't know how else to be,
yeah.
People will say to me, it's like, oh, you just talk about this. And it's like, I don't understand where they're coming from, because any other way than what I am. I'm like a WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. There's nothing hidden about me. There's no separate agenda or anything. And maybe that's my ADHD. I don't know, but yeah, it's there's nothing hidden in me.
Nice.
It's out there.
Yeah.
Maybe it shouldn't be. I don't know.
Well, if that's the way it is and you're being truthful, then it should be. That's just who you are. So you embrace it. Yeah,
absolutely.
The guests at the end of the show, the same questions. They're just sort of quick, fun questions. They're mostly one answer, but if you feel like you want to say something a bit more, you can. You're welcome to. So the very first question is, if you had to choose one, cat or a dog?
Dog. I'm allergic to cats.
Oh, that makes it easier. Get a lot of people really struggle on that. Oh, you can hear my dog. Can you hear it? He's come over. He's about to go for a walk, so he's really happy. Every time he goes for a walk, he starts howling. We have a dog
so happy.
And we have cats, and they all go for a walk together.
Oh, fun. My daughter does that. She takes her cats for walks with. Yeah.
Nice. And what's your favorite color?
That's hard. You know, I used to be blue and gray were my favorite, but it had to be the blue that's in the sky. Oh, I love that. What a sweetheart. But I like purple and orange seem to be the colors I gravitate towards most right now.
Oh, nice. To let you know, my number one color that I've had for all my guests is purple, which is also my favorite color. And I was so surprised that that's been the most consistent color out of all my guests as well, which is interesting.
That is interesting.
What would you say in the simplest terms, like, excites you and motivates you?
People.
Nice. And what does the opposite, what shuts you down?
Anger, hate, anything that, you know, there's a time for anger, but I don't think there's ever a time for hate.
Oh, nice. I like that. What sound or noise do you love?
Laughter.
What sound or noise do you not love so much?
Probably harshness in tones.
Awesome. What do you love about yourself?
Happiness.
What do you love to see in other people?
Honesty.
Nice. And very last question. What do you love about animals? This can be pets or animals in nature, however you want to take the word animals.
Themselves. It's, you know, every animal is different, has its own uniqueness. And I just love them for who they are and what they are. I'm a big animal person, always have been.
Nice. I've only had one guest that actually said, she goes, when I asked that, she goes, I don't not like animals. She goes, but I'm not an animal person. And I was like, well, I was quite shocked because no one's ever said that.
And she
mentioned trees, and she's like, she goes, I just love trees. And I said, all right, I'll change it for you. I said, you're the only one. I said, so what do you love about trees?
Oh, cool. That's good you went with that. That's awesome.
Yeah, so that was an intro. It was one of my third from last guests from now, I think. No, it's beautiful to hear your story and your journey, and I really truly wish you all the best with your venture to share and connect with others and provide value. It's a great service.
And to you too. I think what you're doing is absolutely wonderful, and I'm glad you're doing it.
Thank you so much, and I look forward to getting on your show. I'm gonna check my calendar tomorrow, and I will go and check yours to see when I'm available to jump on it.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. Thank you. This has been very enjoyable. I really appreciate you asking me to be here.
Thank you. And quick question on your show. Like, what's, you were saying with the format, is it so it'd just be me and you talking on a live conversation, or did you say there's more than one person on the show, or when you
book? No, I just go to Zoom and it's just live. We just talk. You know, if there's something specific you want to talk about, we'll just keep it towards that and see where it goes. If you just want to visit, we can just visit.
Let's do it this way. As you've read the book that I've just put out, you pick a topic from within that in some form, and we'll talk about that.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, I like promoting books too.
Okay, I have a beautiful, it's a whole day for you, isn't it? Because it's morning, so have a beautiful rest of your day.
Yeah. All righty, you have a good evening.
All right, thank you so much for being on the show, and all the best.
Oh, thank you. Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for being here and listening to The Selfish Podcast. I'm your host, Luke Greenhart, and I appreciate you being here. Don't forget to check out my YouTube channel. Just search Luke Greenhart on YouTube. You'll find me. Check out my website, lukegreenhart.com. Have an amazing day and stay tuned for more episodes. I'll be interviewing guests on their path of self-development, their path to self, getting to know them in much more intimacy, much more depth, sharing and connecting with all so we can have a much more blissful, joyful, and productive life together. All right, much love. Have a great day.